And from Laramie, he was a man with a peaceful turn of mind. He was kind of sociable and friendly. Friendly as any man could be. But you never saw a man outdraw the man from Laramie. The man from Laramie. He was a man with a warm and gentle heart. But when they'd start.
Welcome to Westerns with Dad. This is Matt.
And this is Dad.
And on this episode, we are talking about The Man from Laramie. This is a Jimmy Stewart film and an Anthony Mann film, part of their long series of what do you call them?
Collaborations.
Collaborations, yes. Uh-huh.
They did something like 8 films together.
Something like 8.
Five of them were westerns. Mm-hmm.
The final one was The Man from Laramie. This was the last of the series. I thought, knowing that going in, that this would be a much older Jimmy Stewart, but it wasn't. He's just regular Jimmy Stewart, probably maybe just shy of 50 or so in this. Yeah. Maybe a little less physically demanding a role than he has had in the past, but still, this is in the height of his everyman kind of period, right?
He was the number 2 box office star, right behind John Wayne, in the '50s. Wow. In the 50s.
Okay. What was the year on this again?
What was it? 55, something like that?
55, 56, something like that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is a it's a pretty traditional Western, right? I mean, that's what
Yes and no, yeah. It was, but it had some overtones that we're going to be talking about that were kind of strange.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
And, well, you know, there's a whole sadistic bent to Alex Wagaman that you don't see too often in Westerns, that at least in the Westerns from the 50s.
There's more gray area, I would say.
Yeah.
There's some characters that you're not entirely sure what you're supposed to think about. I would note that Jimmy Stewart is not one of them. Jimmy Stewart is a plainly good guy in this. Even as he's seeking revenge, he's still, you know, it is a righteous revenge plot.
And, right, righteous revenge, exactly.
And he's even kind of a good guy about it in the end. In any chance he has to be a good guy, he will take. It's a good guy Jimmy Stewart performance, as he was wont to do. So, if trying to explain the plot of this, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward plot, but there's no hook to this. There's no real, there's no concept, big concept that you can be like, this is what this is about. It's Jimmy Stewart arrives in a town to sell goods and maybe look for some vengeance for his dead brother, which we don't figure that out for about an hour, though, I would say. And he just becomes involved in the lives of the people living in this town, and there are things happen because of that,
Things happen because of Wagaman's sadistic son. I mean, he's looking for a fight all the time.
Yeah, this guy sucks. Dave Wagaman.
Uh-huh. Yep, Dave Wagaman. There are hints at Jimmy Stewart's vengeance right off the bat at the beginning of the film when they stop to look at the remains of the cavalry patrol.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so you get the idea that there's something going on there. It isn't until later, like you say, that he actually fleshes out the real reason why he's there. But you get an idea that it's not just to sell goods.
Yeah, there's that scene where he finds those burnt stuff, and it becomes clear he's here to right a wrong or something like that.
Right.
And his sidekick, his buddy, the old Gabby Hayes looking dude.
Yep.
Says, he comes and talks about it. Oh, I can see it in your face. Oh, hate's unbecoming in a man. Stuff like that. And so you'd be like, oh, I'll note that for later. He's here for something. And,
let's see. You've never seen this, right?
I had never seen this. I knew nothing about this. Never heard of it. I mean, it sounds like a Western, but aside from that, I was like, okay, it'll be a Jimmy Stewart film I know nothing about. And how many times have you seen this?
Oh, several. But this has a lot of nostalgia behind it for me.
Interesting.
So I remember going to see this in the drive-in theater with Dad. He took all us boys. Mom didn't go. She didn't want to go. But he took us guys to see Man from Laramie in our pajamas.
Nice.
You know? And they always took us in our pajamas, you know, suspecting that we were going to fall asleep, and we never did. They always had playground stuff to play on, and we loved the drive-ins. They were great.
I feel like I just missed the drive-ins. You know, I went to a few, but it was right at the tail end.
Yep. Your first movie was a drive-in.
Mm-hmm. I have no strong memories of it. I just remember once or twice that we did go, and I wish I'd done it more. Those are great. I mean, they still are around, I guess, huh? In some places.
Yeah, you can find them, but not the same as it used to be.
Not in New York City so much, you got to say.
Anyway, this was very nostalgic, and I remember going to see it for the first time and going sitting all the way through it and loving it. You know, because when you're a kid, 7 years old, you know, and you're watching a Western, you're impressed by everything.
Sure.
And you know, just the slightest fist fight is cool.
Oh, I remember I was a kid. Yeah, I like. You've often said, like, you liked every movie. I enjoyed every movie. And if it were an action movie, you know, that was...
We talked Dad into staying through it was just a continuous showing of the film. They had showed it once just after it got dark, and then they showed it again. They showed it a third time for the, you know, for the late night. And we talked Dad into staying until we could see him knock the guy into the horse trough again. I specifically remember we wanted to see that particular scene again.
It is one of the best scenes. one of the most Western of scenes in the film, for sure. Yep. Shall we start at the beginning, Dad?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. With the electric fire font going on there. I love old Western font. I talk about it all the time. And the ridiculous song that they wrote for this.
Man from Laramie.
I like when they have songs about the movie playing at the beginning of the movie. Always good.
So do I.
And this is not a good song, but it's still pretty fun. It's
not a great song, but I loved it when I was a kid.
It promises a boring, shy hero. He was quiet and nice and didn't do bad things.
Though he were friendly to everyone he met.
First thing I noticed about this, aside from Jimmy Stewart, nobody I'd ever heard of is in this film.
Really? Arthur Kennedy?
I don't know who Arthur Kennedy is, no.
Mm-mm. Whoa, no kidding.
Jack Elam, passing familiarity with, I guess.
Donald Crisp?
Nope, no idea who Donald Crisp is.
Whoa, man. Whoa. Academy Award winner for How Green Was My Valley.
Donald Crisp is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He has a real Jack Warden vibe to him. He looks like a lot of character actors.
Oh, he was in so much stuff. Back in the 30s and 40s and 50s.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
So he was a big deal.
He was, in fact, he's a holdover, he was a carryover from the Silent Age.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought Arthur Kennedy was very good. It's probably my favorite part of the movie, actually.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He has a real Van Heflin kind of vibe to him.
You've seen Lawrence of Arabia, right?
I've seen that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the reporter.
Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Arthur Kennedy.
Huh. All right. Didn't realize that. That's, yeah, he has a real Western face. He looks very at home in a Western.
He did a couple, yeah. He was in They Died With Their Boots On with Errol Flynn.
Oh, I want to do that one someday.
Oh yeah. Totally, totally, a total reworking of history.
That's the heroic General Custer movie, right? That's
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Some one of these days. That's.
That's true. We know we haven't done an Errol Flynn Western.
I can't think of any other than that one. Wasn't
Dodge City. Let's see what else. A couple others. He doesn't really fit the mold like Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne. That's for sure. But
no, I wouldn't think. I can imagine in my head what his Custer looked like, and I do want to see that film because it sounds insane. So we'll be watching that one pretty soon, I'm sure. One of these days, They Died with Their Boots On will happen. let's see here. It just kind of starts in media res, you know, with Jimmy Stewart's character, Will Lockhart, driving a stagecoach cross country with his buddy Charlie, who's that Gabby Hayes type, and
supply wagons. He's driving supply wagons.
Supply wagons, yes.
Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And they come across the burnt wagons, and he goes out to investigate it. And we talked a little bit about that, which is just sort of imply he's there for reasons, and we'll find those out as we go along.
Right.
And shortly after that, they arrive in Coronado, which is the town of the film here. This is the setting of Man from Laramie.
A town that's pretty much owned by a cattle baron.
Yes. It's
Donald Crisp.
It's also in the middle of Apache territory, which is very important that they're it's sort of out in the it's safe within the city limits or so, somewhat.
Right.
But it's sort of an oasis in the middle of a dangerous country.
Right. In fact, everybody was really surprised that he got through with the supplies.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a rough road nowadays. And he delivers those supplies right away, sells them to the Wagaman Mercantile, which is owned by a woman, which is just completely shocking at the time. And that's Barbara Wagaman, who is the woman in the film. The
semi-love interest.
Yes,
never really
not the only woman, but it's sort of the semi-love interest. And that it's interesting how that's treated in this film, I think.
Yeah. Doesn't really go anywhere.
It doesn't, but it feels like it's there is a romantic chemistry between them just simply by the dictates of like he's the hero in a Hollywood movie kind of thing. I think it would have been more interesting if that wasn't an aspect of the film. Actually, I think that undercuts a different relationship in a way that might have been more interesting later. Anyway, Will Lockhart delivers his mercantile products, and she's just like, "Oh, I wish you hadn't, so I could have gone out of business
and gone back east." Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so this is the first time we're introduced to the sort of the winding family tree of the Wagamans and how they sort of are interrelated to everything in the town. This was her father's mercantile, and that becomes important later. Anyway, there's a lot of complicated family history going on in this movie.
Right.
I don't know how important it all is ultimately, but the key point, I guess, is that Alec Wagaman, the head of the Wagaman clan, is a bit mercenary in his tactics and of business. And
feels like you can buy anything you need.
Yeah, you're familiar with the cattle rancher who owns the town kind of archetype. Yeah. And the Apaches surrounding everything make it hard to get around. Everyone's warning him about that. These characters hit it off, I guess you would say. And, you know, she likes him right away, and he likes her. She's, you know, and that's it for the first, chunk of this film, I would suppose.
Yep, pretty much.
Them interacting.
See, we find out she's engaged to Vic, the Arthur Kennedy character.
Mm-hmm. She tells him anyway that there's a bunch of free salt out in the salt plains, and he should go get some, since he's a mercantile man, you know? Or whether he asks about it, and they decide that they'll go get it as a team. And that's kind of where the movie really, really kicks into gear, I suppose.
Right.
Going out in the salt flat. This is a cool sequence. Him and his buddies are out there harvesting salt. Which I guess is a thing you would do, right? Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't want to go back with empty wagons. He wanted to haul mm-hmm. something back.
He doesn't want to go back, though.
Right, but he wants to take his time.
Uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. He has business there that we're still hinting towards. And they're harvesting salt out of the ground, which I guess you did, and that's how we got salt back in the day.
Salt.
Is it how we get salt now? I don't even know.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Seems unsanitary. Yeah. Anyway, the owners of the salt, the Wagamans, show up and they're like, hey, what are you doing taking our salt? And
right.
And this, by the way, this is a good moment to mention this. This is apparently one of the first films to be shot in CinemaScope and Technicolor at the same time. So there's a lot of wide shots, including one right here of a big group of horses riding down the hill, coming around and over and across to Jimmy Stewart. And they take advantage of that a few times, and it's always very cool.
Filmed on location in New Mexico, right?
Yes, there's a credit for New Mexico at the beginning, thanking them explicitly. I have to say, as an older film at this point, I don't think it has quite the visual appeal of some of the other films we've watched, even some of the other of the period films. I don't know. I mean, they make some good wide shot usage, like this scene, occasionally, but. On the whole, it doesn't look as good as The Naked Spur, the last Anthony Mann film we talked about, or certainly other things like Jeremiah Johnson are in another league for this.
Oh, no, nothing like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I guess it was fine.
It wasn't eye-catching.
No. And I also, I mean, I watched this off Amazon Prime. Like, it's a streaming for me. It's not well-produced master at this point. I don't know if, how did you watch it?
DVD.
Yeah, okay. How'd that look? Did it get a good master?
Not bad, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was good. It wasn't like a Blu-ray HD kind of thing, but it was good.
Yeah, this is not a film that I believe people are clamoring for a high-def master of. It's not as well-known as some of the other ones we've talked about, but it's still very accessible. Like, you can just... This one's pretty much... You can find this on any streaming service, it seemed to me. And that's cool. I like having movies that are of this age just readily available.
Yeah.
This is where we meet Dave Wagman and Vic, actually, but mostly Dave in this scene. This is the vicious asshole son of of the land baron, the cattle baron, and he rides down and is so mad, so pissed that they're taking his salt.
Even though it was supposed to be free for the taking.
Yeah, everyone else is like, dude, it's just salt. Whatever, man. Who cares? And he's like, they're going to do it. They're going to kill everything. They're going to take all our horses next. Yeah, unless we make an example of them, you know.
He was such a jerk.
Yeah, he's a big jerk in every scene. He's real unpleasant and, sort of the
guy wants to inflict pain.
And a little man. Like, kind of little man trying to prove himself.
Yep.
Kind of vibe, Napoleon complex kind of stuff.
yep.
No one in the film likes him. he's always trying to. He's a bully. He's a bully. He's using his family connections to bully people.
Right.
And that's a good villain.
It's a great villain. Yeah, he's despicable from the word go.
So they burn all of Jimmy Stewart's wagons. He kind of beats up Jimmy Stewart a little bit at this point.
He ties him up and drags him through a campfire.
Yeah, yeah, and they shoot all his mules.
What a slime ball.
Yeah, over some salt. And even his own guys are like, what are you doing, man? Come on!
Yeah.
Especially Vic. Vic is the one who's kind of trying to tone him down here. Yeah.
Vic has been charged, we find out later, with keeping him in line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not exactly doing the job.
Exactly. And so now we get in, and then we also have a conversation with Charlie, which is the grizzled old fella, the Jimmy Stewart's sidekick. He dismisses all of his guys. He gets paid, and you know, for his losses.
yeah,
they give him some money as a way of apology, and for Dave overreacting, and he pays off his men for their trip to Coronado from Laramie, because, you know, he's like dismissing the guys who helped him move the mercantile goods. Right. And Charlie's like, I don't want to go. I got nowhere else. I'm lonely. I want to stay around you. And
I like the cut of a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can tell by the cut of a man that he's, you know, my kind of guy, you know, so he's going to stick around.
Yeah, it's sort of a labored character motivation for something that really doesn't pay off much, that I would say. Is there anything important that Charlie does later? Does he give him something later?
Oh, he finds the wagon tracks.
Yeah, okay. He is half Apache, Charlie is.
Right.
So he Hard is to free to move between worlds, as he says, and he can go up and get information in the Apache territory. Without fear of getting killed. And right. And so that's what he's going to do for Lockhart, because he's lonely.
Which is where he finds out that there's a new shipment coming in for the Indians, shipment of guns.
Yes, which is what the film turns on. Because, okay, we can talk about this. It turns out that Will Lockhart's brother was killed by Apache, who were in possession of guns they shouldn't have been had.
Right, repeating rifles, yeah.
Yeah, repeating rifles, and he's here to find out who sold them repeating rifles. And that's what the film, that's what his secret mission is, this whole film. And I don't think we find that out quite yet, but it's important to know. I mean, that's what all this is right. building towards, yeah.
Well, there was the scene in town, Coronado, happens before he gets paid for the wagons.
Mm-hmm.
He's Jimmy Stewart's in Coronado, and Dave comes into town with some cattle.
Yeah,
with Vic. And
well, this
Jimmy
is
Stewart.
The next scene. This is the next scene, and this is the big scene, Dad. This is.
But it wasn't until after this that he got paid for the wagons.
Yes, this was his pay from the mercantile goods.
No, oh,
because he dismisses
no.
all his guys.
Yeah, but he didn't get paid. The mercantile goods were already paid for. He was just delivering them.
That's right.
But
that's right.
He got paid because of Dave destroying his wagons and mules.
Mm-hmm.
But that's after this fight with Dave in Coronado.
Where does he pay his team then and send them home?
After that, after he gets paid by Alec Wagaman for the mules and the wagons.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, not that that's that
riveting
that
podcasting here. What's what we got going on? Let's get the facts of the movie. Okay.
Well, see, that the reason I'm bringing it up is this is my favorite, one of my favorite scenes, right? Where he drags Dave off his horse and starts a fist fight, knocks him into the horse trough, and you know, good old Western stuff.
I mean, this is it. Yeah, Dave rides into town, and Lockhart sees him, and is just like, I'm gonna mess him up, and yeah.
Right.
And it is a big brawl right in the middle of the town square. You know, there's pigs and horses running around everywhere. There's guys riding around on horses. And Lockhart just beats him up and knocks him into the horse trough. And it's pretty great. It's
pigs and horses running around.
It's awesome, right? I mean,
yeah, it is. It's great. It's great. And for a seven-year-old, it was awesome. It was awesome enough to talk Dad into sticking around and watch it again.
this is the only real action scene that Jimmy Stewart gets in the film. There, it's not an action-heavy movie. There's very little in the way of shootouts or anything.
Well, there was the shootout out by the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about
and
later.
And Bolt, he gets in a fight with Bolt later, which, by the way, right. But we'll talk about it later. But yeah. So after Jimmy Stewart beats up Dave, that's when Alec Wagaman shows up, who is the rich man, the cattle baron. Rancher, rich man who owns everything guy.
Right. And, by the way, him beating up Dave, is everybody's aghast at this because nobody touches Dave.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right.
And Dave is the guy who has free reign and to do whatever because you know, I who my daddy is, that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And Alec Wagaman is, I don't know, he looks like Jack Warden, like I said. This is Donald Crisp. This is one of the better performances in the film, probably. He's not quite the bad guy. Not as you would expect upon when you first meet him. Because he's really just kind of trying to run a ranch. He's just trying to correctly manage his thing. It just
right.
overlaps
he
can, with
comes
bad
comes across
stuff.
As a fair-minded man.
Yeah, uh-huh. what is the name of the ranch here? It's
The Barb.
The Barb, yeah, they say this a lot. It is referred to as, you know, the Barb, as in, like, you know, it's practically the government in town, you know. Everyone talks about things in regards to the Barb. And yeah, he's in charge of the Barb. And yeah, they have a heated exchange, Alec Wagaman and Jimmy Stewart here. And what it basically comes down to is, he's like, okay, fine, you know what? I'll just pay you what we owe you then. I'll just pay you what you owe you, and then you're on your way, I hope. Everyone wants him to leave town.
Except the old lady.
Mm-hmm. The old Except lady Kate. Who we meet now. This is Kate. Kate something? Kate,
Kennedy.
Kate Kennedy. Who just seems like a friendly old cowboy lady at first, but as we come to meet her, she turns out she is the holdout landowner in the area, the second largest landowner after the Wagamans, considerably less, but you know, they've been trying to buy her out forever and she won't budge. That kind of character,
right?
And you know, sort of a, I mean, we really don't get into her much in the film, but she has a lot of. I like her. I wish we did. She has the bearing of some sort of matriarch of the Kennedy clan or whatever.
Not much of a clan. She's just got a few guys working for her.
Yeah, you see this. I want more of her. I want to see what her whole deal was. yeah, and she befriends Will Lockhart, and we think it's because she's a nice lady, but it's also because she sees him as somebody that is on the wrong side of the Wagamans.
Can stand up to the Wagamans.
Uh-huh. Or yep. She sees an opportunity there. Whatever, yeah.
Well, she comes out and says it later on, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, this, I guess, is sort of the cosmology of this universe. You know, these are the major players of Coronado. I mean, we haven't talked much about Vic, and Vic kind of becomes important right around now.
Yep.
This is Arthur Kennedy, and again, I think this guy's great. I think this is my favorite character in the film. I like the turn that he takes, and the way that is presented, and because at first, you know, when we meet him, I figured he was sort of a co-hero character, along with Jimmy Stewart, that he was going to be, you know, ultimately a pretty good guy that did good guy stuff with Jimmy Stewart and helped him out or something like that, and had his own arc in that regard.
Right.
No, not quite. he is the second in command for the Wagamans. He is their sort of the I don't know what the phrase would be.
Ramrod.
Sure. Yeah. You know, a consigliere. You know, he's like Tom Hagen, essentially, and. He's in charge of keeping track of Dave, making sure Dave doesn't screw up too much, and making sure all the work gets done. Like, you know, the guy's son and him kind of have they've both been promised half of the estate upon when Wagaman retires. So they're both sort of the next in command. And
right, and I need to point out that even though Vic is sort of treated like a second son, he's not.
No, no.
So, and Donald Crisp makes a point of it, saying, well, he's my blood and you're not, you know.
Yeah, he's always, and everyone knows, including Alec Wagman, that Vic is the better of the two. Like the more able of the landowners to be, but yeah, he's not his blood. Mm-hmm. And
did you catch? I noticed in reading some reviews on this that there's a Shakespearean overtone here.
There's a little bit, yeah.
King Lear-ish.
It's a little bit of King Lear. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not explicitly. It's not the scenario that is in King Lear, but King Lear is a story that is all about legacy and the how an estate will be broken up after the death of the patriarch and what if the patriarch's a little bit wrong about how that should happen, you know, what will the inheritors do to, you know, to ensure their stake in it, and you know, it's Shakespearean in that regard, you know, and it feels like that's sort of almost incidental, but it's definitely there. You know, it's definitely not referencing anything, you know, from King Lear, but it's a similar situation. I mean, if they were doing that directly, it would play out very differently. but yeah, I mean, that's sort of a classic story, or Charlemagne, I guess you could reference as well.
Yeah, yeah, he had to break it up. His empire.
I mean, he did. He didn't have to. Wasn't that the thing that like brought it down? The fact that it was split up in three pieces.
Right.
Yeah. Never a good idea, as it turns out.
Never a good idea. Charlemagne's empire. Charlemagne's empire was doomed when they decided to divide it up.
Exactly. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Although it's hard to keep anything that big together anyway, I suppose. Same thing happened to Rome. Anyway, anything that big.
Yeah.
Hegemony. It's tough. and yeah, that's kind of what this is about, I guess, a little bit. And of course, the fact that this guy, Dave, is a real disappointment. You know, he's just a lump. Sort of a nasty, vicious... not very good boss, but also, you know, he's just a dumb guy so that's a problem always, and I guess it's implied that's because he was spoiled, but we don't really know why he was such a disappointment.
He was spoiled by his mother, who was from the East.
Right.
wasn't really a Western woman. And she didn't want to see him end up like Donald Crisp.
Yeah.
So she pampered him.
Mm-hmm. I really like that scene, actually, when they're talking about that. And it's when he explains to him, basically, like, you know, he's like, look, let me be clear, son. You're not quite the man I was. you're just not as good as I was. And it's terrific. And again, I feel like this is the movie. Like, these characters, the Wagamans and their relationship with Vic and how all that is going to play out. That's what this film is about. And Will Lockhart is, you know, he's given more importance because he's Jimmy Stewart, but he's not really, you know, I feel like Vic's the more important character in this story. Vic is sort of the central axis pivot. And and just because Jimmy Stewart is Jimmy Stewart, you know, it doesn't feel that way. It's not framed that way, but he's sort of an X factor in this larger story.
All right, what's the main thrust of the story then? If the Wagamans and Vic are the sort of the thing that everything hinges on,
I think it's Vic's story. I think the story is about Vic trying to secure his legacy, marry this woman, or be happy with his wife. They're not actually married quite yet, right? This is the Barbara Wagaman, who's connected again because her dad was the owner of the mercantile, also a Wagaman, kind of got pushed out of the family business by Alec because he's a mercenary.
He was Alec's brother.
So it, you know, there's long tendrils of octopus tentacles going, you know, throughout the town, as the implication. And she's telling him, "No, don't trust these guys. They will screw you over first chance they get." And he's like, "I have done everything I need to secure my position." And but it's in his head. Then he is also, I mean, this is giving away the central thrust here. He's also worked with Dave to sell those the repeating rifles to Indians. You know, he's trying to skim a little off the side, make a little extra money on his own here. And and because he chose a bad partner in that, you know, and because the sins come home to roost in the form of Will Lockhart, his entire position is threatened by this, and he does everything he can to secure his position, but, you know, he's a doomed tragic hero in that regard, and it's not going to work out for him.
Right. But you still have this overriding plot of Will Lockhart trying to find the guy who, in this case, we know now that it's Vic.
Yes.
Vic and Dave.
Vic and Dave. Mostly Dave.
The guys that sold the guns to the Indians.
Mm-hmm. So, that's true. Mean, you can frame
main,
it in either
main
way.
Plot of the film. I mean,
I guess I'm looking for, and this was not the style of the time, for that, for the rise and fall kind of story with this sort of anti-heroic protagonist. Is I think the more interesting film that circles centers on Vic. If you can imagine this movie with Vic as the main character, maybe even Jimmy Stewart and Arthur Kennedy swap roles. That's an interesting film, and this character still has heroic qualities, but he's tainted in a way. You know, he's got tragic flaws as well, and then there's this sort of this avatar of not justice, but a reckoning, if you will, coming from Laramie. Could even still be called the Man from Laramie. I think by framing the story around the Jimmy Stewart character, though, Will Lockhart, I don't know, that character, he's less interesting to me than Vic is. So that is what I would prefer as a film, I think. It would be a way less traditional film, you know, which is clearly not the film they set out to make, but I think it'd be a more memorable and a little more potent movie if you were kind of looking at it through Vic's eyes, if he was the point of view character.
Yeah, very interesting. Yep,
it's an idea.
well, you can't do that to Jimmy Stewart, so he's right. He's the man in the film.
Yeah, Star System. Yeah, that's. Yep. I mean, I think the film almost does that to him, though. Like, half of this movie does not have Jimmy Stewart in it. You know, it's a star vehicle, but literally, I would say half the scenes in the film he's not present for. Yeah, or so, a little less than maybe, but Vic becomes the plot driver through all these scenes that where he's not around. You know, scenes talking to his wife, scenes talking to everyone else, and then when we do have scenes with Lockhart. They're kind of like this stuff with like Chris Bolt, the Jack Elam character, following him around, and it sort of seems a little bit incidental, and in fact ends up being very incidental.
We never find out why Bolt attacks him with a knife.
We never find that out. We don't even find out who killed Bolt.
Well, we think we assume it was the Indian that saw the whole thing.
I okay, yeah. I suppose.
But we don't know why.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we have no idea what the Indian's doing in the film.
Mm-hmm. So what happens is Will Lockhart goes out to meet with Alec Wagaman, and this is where he pays him off, you know, for his mules and wagons. And also he shares a dream that he had with Will, somebody coming to town and killing his son. Somebody tall and thin like you, Will Lockhart. And so he's begging Will Lockhart to leave town, basically. Like everyone is kind of saying, Will Lockhart, you don't belong here. You got to get out of town.
Right.
He's like, well, I might just want to stay for a while. I don't know.
All right. Good Jimmy Stewart. I don't know.
And then he leaves. And as he's leaving, he's being followed by Chris Bolt, who's just a guy
He's, guy with a knife.
He's just a dude. And he's like, oh, I just followed you. Look, I'm not armed. I just thought you might want to buy information from me, because that's what I do. I sell people secrets and something like that. I don't know. And Jimmy Stewart's like, no, I don't care to deal with you. And so I guess that's that with that guy. But then he goes back to Coronado.
So that right there is what pissed off Chris Bold enough to want to kill him?
I guess.
I don't want to buy information from you. Okay, you're a dead man.
So he goes back to town, and Chris Bolt attacks him, like jumps off a roof in the middle of the night as he's walking by and assaults him with a knife. And yeah, they struggle, and he runs off. And then Will Lockhart gets arrested because Chris Bolt has been stabbed in the alleyway. And yeah, this is a plot strand that goes nowhere. It's just an excuse to kind of get him in jail for a night.
Right. So Kate Kennedy can bail him out.
Mm-hmm. And we meet Sheriff Tom Quigby, who also thinks that he should leave town. And there's an irrelevant knife fight, and after he gets in this knife fight, he stumbles into a Pueblo wedding. Do you remember this?
Is that right after the knife fight?
Yeah, which he doesn't mention the knife fight. Which, I don't know, maybe it was a different time. I figure, like, if somebody had just tried to kill me, I wouldn't just be like, hey, check out this wedding. I'd be like, somebody just tried to kill me. I just got attacked with a guy with a knife. And he just kind of hangs out with Barbara and Vic here for a little while. We get to know them a little better.
And this is where he finds out that they're engaged, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, "Oh, well, I didn't realize it was a situation like that." Because he kind of half-heartedly had a flirtation going with Barbara. but yeah, then he gets arrested. Because he's under suspicion of killing Bolt. And he gets a few scenes in prison where Alec Wagaman shows up and
talks about his dream again.
Yeah, talks about the dream again. You know, just wants him to leave. And then Kate shows up, the old cowwoman, and bails him out because she sees that he's instigating trouble for the Wagamans. And he's a sort of a fly in the ointment or whatever. And she'd like him to keep doing that, and, you know, come work for her maybe or something like that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. She needs more people that'll stand up to the Wagamans.
Yeah. She's always on the edge of getting forced out of her territory. And she knows as soon as Alec's gone, Dave's not going to wait around. You know,
right.
Dave's going to hire people to come roust her or something like that.
Yep.
So. Now we're shifting back over to the Wagaman drama, family drama. we find out that Alec is, well, this is great, actually. He pulls Vic aside rather than his son and explains to him that he's losing his eyesight. He's got some sort of illness that's making him blind.
Yeah.
And it's within a year he'll have lost his eyesight and he'll have to turn it over sooner rather than later. And he's kind of, you know, starts using language like, I always thought of you as my real son or stuff like that.
As a son to me, yeah.
Yeah, treating Vic like a son because his son is such a disappointment. Dave, that is. Dave, of course, is listening at the door, and so he overhears everything.
Right.
That's pretty good stuff, you know.
Yeah, he goes, that's right. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy Stewart takes Kate's offer to be her ramrod, and she sends him out to check out some strays that might have gotten mixed up with the Wagaman herd.
Yeah.
And he's out doing that when Dave and his gang, his men, see him out there. And Dave... Yeah. Being the asshole that he is, goes down immediately and starts shooting at him. Jimmy Stewart, of course, shoots back and manages to nick Dave in the hand, which really pisses Dave off. And the men come down around, surround Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
Rope him and hold him still. And Dave has him hold out his hand, his gun hand, right hand, I think. And he shoots him through the hand.
Mm-hmm.
This is that sadistic bent that I was talking about. I mean, the guy just wants to inflict pain.
Mm-hmm. I think what it is he's he feels like he's been humiliated or lessened.
Well, that's part of it, yeah.
You know, and he wants to, you know, he doesn't want to look like he doesn't want to look weak in front of people when all he does is look weak in front of people. That's sort of his main thing is looking. Yep. Looking like less than a man than everyone else around him, and that you yeah. know that infuriates him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a pretty broad villain, Dave. In a broad movie full of gray characters, you know, who have complicated reasons for doing what they're doing, Dave is just a straight up bad guy,
evil guy. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. He's also been trying to get the Apache to kill Kate and take over her land, and has been providing them with guns to do that.
as if they're going to do just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, as yeah. Vic says, I mean, because Vic was in on it. We mentioned this before. Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay, what's going on now is after this sequence where he's been humiliated and shoots Will Lockhart in the hand, he goes up onto a ridge and starts doing smoke signals to let the Apache know that they've got more repeating rifles to give them. That they've already right. been sold. They've already been paid for. Here's your shipment of guns, you know. And it's a much larger shipment this time. It's like, what, like 30 of them or something?
Yeah, something like that.
A lot of rifles. And Vic gets up there, and this is where we find out they're working together on this, even though Vic is kind of just got dragged into it, unbeknownst. And says, look, if we give them all those guns, they're going to kill everyone in town. Like, this is, you know, they're going to overrun this place if they're this well armed. We can't do that. And he's like, it doesn't matter. It's done. Doesn't matter. What do you care? I heard. I was listening. And they have a big, you know, altercation.
Oh, yeah. Vic says, yeah, but they'll kill even the women and children. And mm-hmm. Dave says, well, yeah, but they're not mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a true asshole mm-hmm. comment. I mean, that's... reveals his character right there.
Mm-hmm. If anything else was required to reveal. And yeah, and so they have it out, and Dave pulls a gun. He's going to kill Vic, and Vic is forced to shoot him.
Yep.
That surprised me, because there's, you know, there's a half hour left in this movie, and I figured that Will was going to be the one to take down Dave. No, it's Vic. Vic gets him, kills him. And he finds himself yep. in a real bad position because of it, you know?
Yep.
Because okay. not only was he complicit with the gun sales, you know, it's not gonna matter to Alec Wackerman what the circumstances behind him killing his son are. You know, this is the nightmare he's been having forever, that somebody's gonna kill his son. And
right.
And it ends up being Vic. So Vic is forced to blame Lockhart for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He never actually comes out and says that, though. He never says it must have been Lockhart.
That's true.
Brings the body back into the ranch, you know, and everybody assumes it's Lockhart.
Yeah.
And he doesn't dissuade him from thinking otherwise.
He it's exactly what he does, yeah. Uh-huh. Which is an interesting choice, I think. Because yeah. I think it signifies he's not just turning into the bad guy at this point. Like, he's doing this because he realizes it's his only option. And, you know, he can't just say he did it. Right. It's not going to work for him. So I guess it'll have to be Will that did it. Meanwhile, Barbara fell in love with Will Lockhart. Uh-oh. hadn't counted on that. Oh, no.
it's... Now, there's a fairly unnecessary character.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be a more interesting movie if she was still on Vic's side. throughout.
Yeah.
Like, if she was forced to choose between the two and she chose Vic because she's in love with Vic, she's going to marry him. Instead, you know, she's just drawn to the more virtuous movie star character, Jimmy Stewart. And I think that simplifies the relationship drama that is going on throughout this film.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's necessary. I don't think it helps much. But, I mean, it does make it a little more traditional, you know, love interest for Will Lockhart, for Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, but not just, you know, the love interest's sake is just, it's always kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, no one gives a damn about that relationship. Like, so it seems unnecessary and, not important. What goes on between Alec and Lockhart once he thinks he killed his son? He rides out to the Half Moon with his gun. And they kind of have
just after the funeral, he takes off.
Yeah, uh-huh.
He takes off. He's going to go kill Will Lockhart.
And they have a bit of...
can't see.
Right, yeah, he's losing his sight even more now. Considerably more. And he rides out to the Half Moon. That's Kate's ranch.
Right.
To confront him. And they just sort of yell at each other, right? I mean...
Well, he shoots at him. Maybe he hears his voice and starts shooting in that general direction... And he's way off.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Stewart unhorses him and tells him, you know, in no uncertain terms, no, I didn't kill your son. It's not me. Mm-hmm. I'm not the man in your dream, et cetera. And then he just rides off.
I found this to be an unsatisfying scene. Yes.
Yeah, it didn't work out well.
Mm-hmm.
And actually unnecessary.
Yeah, in the scheme of things. Mm-hmm. I feel like he just wanted one more scene between them where he thinks he killed his son, because otherwise there would never be that scene.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you could have another scene where he's just talking to Vic or something, and he says, I know this guy killed my son. We have to figure out a way to get him.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been...
I wonder if this is another scene that exists because Jimmy Stewart is the star of the movie. You want to have a confrontation between him and this character, between the Alec Wagaman character, and there's no room for one if you do it later. It doesn't make sense later, so.
Right.
And so could I don't be. Know. Again, I think he's not the protagonist. The next thing that happens, which is sort of an odd cut to this scene, is the consequential scene about this, which is Alec figuring out that they've been selling guns to the Apaches.
Yeah. You see, it's a load of barbed wire.
Yeah, this is
the register.
A ridiculous cost for barbed wire. What else was being sold here? I think it was guns. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he wants to go confirm it. Vic, take me out there. Confirm this. Show me that it wasn't Dave. I think it was Dave, but prove to me it wasn't Dave. And
yeah. Let's find the wagon. There's got to be a wagon of guns out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell did they get that wagon up onto that cliff?
It must have been a different route, right?
Must have been.
Yeah.
Not the one they ride up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so they get up there and they have a scuffle. And what incites this exactly?
Vic is trying to talk Alec into staying out of it. It's not worth it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to find out that Dave's... What good is it going to do to find out that Dave was selling guns to the Indian, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Stay away from it.
Uh-huh.
So he doesn't want him to find the guns, doesn't want him to find out that he's involved, for sure.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Right? And they scuffle on the trail. He pushes Alec off the horse. Inadvertently, I think.
He keeps accidentally killing these wagamans. Yeah. Uh-huh. Just keeps happening. Yeah.
Fortunately, Alec isn't killed. He's just
mm-hmm.
banged up a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot, mm-hmm. maybe. And patience is blindness.
Mm-hmm. And Will Lockhart stumbles upon him, pulls him out of there, kind of saves him. And
oh, and Will Lockhart stumbles upon him because Charlie had found the wagon tracks.
Oh yes, Charlie. That's what.
Yeah,
that's
Charlie
why.
Charlie had found the wagon tracks, and so they follow the wagon tracks and
Charlie
takes him up there. Mm-hmm. He finds Wagaman lying on the ground, just off the trail. Right, takes him back, and this is where Vic comes charging in and saying, "I just heard about how did he die?"
Yeah,
he says, "Well, he's not dead."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, let me just talk to him. No, 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 no.
Takes him with him, no. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, he finds out about it. He tells Lockhart, you know, what happened. Alec does. And yeah, ultimately, it was Vic and Dave that got Lockhart's brother killed by selling the Apaches repeating rifles. And now how does this conclusion play out here? Vic goes up to the ridge
to complete the sale. Guns to the Indians, yeah.
Yeah,
get the guns to the Indians. Now, I don't understand that quite.
No, because he was arguing against this earlier.
Right.
And, I mean, but he, I guess
yeah,
they just go
the
up there.
To get out of town now, I think.
Ah, yes, that's what it is, right. Uh-huh. And even though they've already been paid, so he's getting the Indians help anyway. And Lockhart follows him up there. They have a confrontation, and ultimately Lockhart convinces him that they got to get rid of the guns. And the Apache are riding up the cliff to get him and everything, and it's, you know, last minute kind of, you know, exciting conclusion, and they push the wagon off of the cliff, and it explodes right in front of the Apache, who in this are pretty much just a symbol of pure death and nothing else. they're sharks, basically. They're like this, just the sharks that live around the reef that is Coronado. And if you you don't see any of them, really, yep. Except in the distance until this very last scene where they just kill Vic.
Jimmy Stewart can't bring himself to kill Vic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He lets him go. And Vic tries to get away and runs right into a circle of Indians.
Yeah. And they just silently shoot him and shoot arrows into him, and that's that. And
Yep. Yeah. No more Vic.
Mm-hmm. And that's the end of him. And that's how it resolves. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. and Lockhart decides to leave town.
Finally.
Yeah. We find out he was always a cavalry officer, like sort of undercover cavalry officer. He was, which is unnecessary, I think, because his brother really did get killed. But we just find out he was definitely working for the law the whole time. All right. We never find out who ends up with the Wagaman estate.
Well, we know that Kate and Alec are hooking up again.
Yeah, because Alec's still alive. Alec's still alive.
Uh-huh. He's blind, and he needs Kate.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And Kate was always in love with him anyway, right?
Or something, yeah. That's right. And
in fact, they were supposed to be married when Alec ran into the woman he actually married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of, like we said, a lot of relationship drama in this film. In fact, I would say this is more of a relationship drama than an action film, for sure. This is a relationship drama that happens to be a Western in a lot of ways. You know, they're all Western character types. But this is all about it's all about personalities and how they're colliding with another and, you know, and relationships and betrayals and family drama for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. There's good action. I mean, I like the action scenes, but they're not the center.
No, that fist fight in the town center is definitely the most notable. It has, you know, it feels like a real Western kind of action fist fight sequence. And then there's, you know, some excitement with shootouts and Indians and stuff. But yeah, I would say more the focus is definitely more on the personalities and how they collide.
Some of the reviews said talked about it as a psychological Western.
Well, I don't know that psychology gets too into it.
Oh, but you got the jealousy, Dave's jealousy and sadism, and Vic, and you know the whole King Lear-ish thing,
right?
Going on.
The King Lear stuff is interesting for sure. Yeah, it's an interesting movie in that regard. It's, you know, it felt different from the other stuff I've watched. I do like Anthony Mann's approach, you know, that she's very character-based always. And, you know, and interesting characters in this film. Like I said, I think the point of view is wrong. And I don't think it didn't really grab me, I have to admit. I think it's a solid film. And I would say that, you know, a fan of a Jimmy Stewart, you know, Western, this is definitely a good one as far as those go. He didn't really make bad ones as far as I can tell. you know, and must-see? Not a must-see for me, but I enjoyed it. I'm going 3 out of 5 stars on The Man from Laramie.
And I'm looking at this film as a 69-year-old, you know, I would say 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at it as a 7-year-old, I'd say 4.
That's right. Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, I think I'm, you know, it seems everyone else enjoyed it much with people that have actually seen it. It's not a film people talk about much anymore. But
no.
Anthony Mann and Jimmy Stewart didn't do bad stuff ever, really. This is
no.
It's solid. Man from Laramie. Any other things about it? Anything else to say?
No, just it's always been one of my kind of not really a go-to Western, but you know, kind of part of that general nostalgic feel from the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, one of those films that I remember seeing for the first time with my dad.
Right. Well, that's important. Sort of thing. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It affects
great.
The way you feel about a film, you know. I mean, there are a lot of things, for example, wrong with The Great Race.
No, there aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are.
Okay.
It's it's over long, and Natalie Wood's got too much, and you know, this and that. You know, all you're just waiting for the scenes with Jack Lemmon all the time.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that film has. What can I say? A place in my heart.
Mine too.
From the 60s.
Because we watched it so many times.
yeah, I forced you to watch it.
No, I loved it. It was great. You loved watching Great Race. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think it's like if it's a mad world were a better movie, that would be a Great Race. and that has a great Western sequence in it too, by the way.
Oh, it does.
I love the Western scene in Great Race.
Citizens of Barrancho.
Yeah, that guy, the mayor, is amazing. It's got an incredible stunt. The Larry Storch.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. Landing on his back.
One of the best stunts I've ever seen, especially because he's so notably the, you know, it's the actor. It is Larry Storch performing the stunt. And, yeah, that's a good one. The Great Race. Have you seen anything else recently, Dad?
Have I seen anything else? Nope. Watching games. Watching baseball and football.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's getting going here.
No other movies.
No? Nothing at all? No TV shows or anything?
Nope.
Well, what's the best game you've seen?
Well, certainly not the Seahawks game yesterday. Jeez.
Hmm.
That was terrible. Mariners had a couple of good games against the Angels.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. All right.
But, yeah. How about you?
Oh, Dad, I saw It. I went to go see It.
Oh, Annie said you were going to go see it.
Of course I was going to go see it. I was more excited about this than I've been for a movie in a very long time. You know how I feel about It.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is like Lord of the Rings coming out for me. This was a huge deal. It's not perfect. I think the third act is a little shaky. A little shaky third act. But that didn't matter. That didn't matter. It was awesome, Dad. It was so much fun. It's so great. What a great, great fun story it is. It was a delight. I had so much fun with it. It's fun. That's the thing about it. It's a really fun movie. Some people, I've talked to people who found it really scary. People thought it wasn't scary enough. That's never been the thing about it for me. It's been that what's the most exciting thing about that is that it's just so much fun as a story. It's a perfect horror movie for kids, I would say, even though kids it's way too R-rated for kids. But it's all the same, they would love it. They would love it if they saw it. Like, I loved the miniseries when I was a kid, which is a considerably worse version. This is a big improvement on the miniseries, and just it's just so much fun.
How long is it?
The movie is 2 hours and change, a little over 2 hours. It only includes the first half of the story with the kids. And they'll make a sequel now because this film is an enormous success. About the second half of the story.
How did they squeeze it into a two-hour film if it was a miniseries?
Well, even the miniseries is really, really diminished from the book. The book is, you know, it's like 1,200 pages long. It's incredible. Really long book. And so there's no shortage of material, but... it takes place in two timelines. How much do you remember of it?
I never read it. Never
yeah,
saw it.
I made you watch the miniseries, I'm sure.
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, it takes place in the 1950s and then in the 1980s in the book and the miniseries. That's been updated now to take place in the 1980s and I assume current, you know, modern day, present day in the sequel. And it's about these seven kids, you know, that come across this ancient evil monster living in their city, you know, killing children, and they have to fight it, you know, they battle it and they defeat it as children, and then when it comes back 30 years later, they are sworn by a blood oath to return and face it again as adults, and that's basically the story. So you see how that can split into two halves, and that's what they've done.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's so much fun, Dad. I mean, I know you're not a horror movie guy, but I know that no one is going to watch this with you. No one you know is going to want to see it either. So maybe when it comes out on video, Dad, when it comes out and just stream, I strongly recommend you watch it. It's fun. There's so many scary clown moments in it. It's great.
Uh-huh. I've never been a scary clown kind of guy.
There's so many scary teeth in this movie. So that's it. And that's The Man from Laramie. Next time on the podcast, we'll be talking about Little Big Man, the Dustin Hoffman film. Very excited to see this. I've never seen Little Big Man. I just know my reputation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Revisionist Western. Largely about the Native American experience. I want to talk about that again, especially after, you know, the Man from Laramie and It's Apache. So it'll be a big change from that. And that's on the next time, 2 weeks from now. In between now and then, if you would like to hear more episodes, aside from the ones that are available on iTunes, you can go to our website and check out back episodes, stuff from over a year ago that is now available for download only on the website. There's plenty of stuff there. Including The Naked Spur, that's the last time we talked about Jimmy Stewart and Anthony Mann, and there's some other stuff back there as well. Please leave reviews and ratings for us on iTunes. Some new ones came up. Thank you very much for those. They help the podcast immensely. And if you would like to email us directly, you can reach us at westernswithdad@gmail.com. And you can request episodes that you'd like to see us talk about, or ask questions you'd like us to answer on the podcast. And all those things help the podcast immensely, so thank you very much. We got some new ones recently. We really appreciate those. And yeah, I think we'll be doing a lot more requests going into the fall coming up. So thanks again, and I don't know. I believe that's it. Is there anything else you could think of, Dad?
Well, I think that's it.
All right. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Adios, amigos.
The fearless stranger, danger. was this man's specialty? So they never bossed or double-crossed the man from Laramie.
Oh, so they never